Oh, how many pale faces, weak hands, feeble knees, and staggering men were now seen to walk the streets of Mansoul. Here were groans, there pants, and yonder lay those that were ready to faint. The garments to which Emmanuel had given them were but in a sorry case. Some were rent, some were torn, and all in a nasty condition. Some also did hang so loosely upon them that the next bush they came at was ready to pluck them off. After some time spent in this sad and desolate condition, the subordinate preacher called for a day of fasting, and to humble themselves for being so wicked against the great Shaddai and his son. And he desired that Captain Bonergis would preach. So he consented to do it. And the day being come, and his text was this: "Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" And a very smart sermon he made upon the place. First he showed what was the occasion of the words, namely, because the fig tree was barren. Then he showed what was contained in the sentence, namely, repentance or utter desolation. He then showed also by whose authority this sentence was pronounced, and that was by Shaddai himself. And lastly he showed the reasons of the point, and then concluded his sermon. But he was very pertinent in the application, insomuch that he made poor man's soul tremble. For this sermon, as well as the former, wrought much upon the hearts of the men of Mansoul. Yea, it greatly helped to keep awake those that were roused by the preaching that went before, so that now throughout the whole town there was little or nothing to be heard or seen but sorrow and mourning and woe. Now after sermon they got together and consulted what was best to be done. "But," said the subordinate preacher, "I will do nothing of mine own head without advising with my neighbor, Mr. Godly Fear. For if he had aforehand understood more of the mind of our prince than we, I do not know but he also may have it now. Even now we are turning again to virtue." So they called and sent for Mr. Godly Fear, and he forthwith appeared. Then they desired that he would further show his opinion about what they had best to do. Then said the old gentleman as followeth: "It is my opinion that this town of Mansoul should, in this day of her distress, draw up and send an humble petition to their offended Prince Emmanuel, that he in his favor and grace will turn again unto you, and not keep anger forever." When the townsmen had heard this speech, they did with one consent agree to his advice. So they did presently draw up their request, and the next was, "But who shall carry it?" At last they did all agree to send it by my Lord Mayor. So he accepted of the service and addressed himself to his journey, and went and came to the court of Shaddai, whither Emmanuel, the Prince of Mansoul, was gone. But the gate was shut, and a strict watch kept thereat, so that the petitioner was forced to stand without for a great while together. Then he desired that some would go in to the prince and tell him who stood at the gate, and what his business was. So one went and told to Shaddai and to Emmanuel his son that the Lord Mayor of the town of Mansoul stood without at the gate of the king's court, desiring to be admitted into the presence of the prince, the king's son. He also told what was the Lord Mayor's errand, both to the king and his son Emmanuel. But the prince would not come down nor admit that the gate should be opened to him, but sent him an answer to this effect: "They have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But now in the time of their trouble they say to me, 'Arise and save us.' But can they not now go to Mr. Carnal Security, to whom they went when they turned from me, and make him their leader, their lord, and their protection now in their trouble? Why now in their trouble do they visit me, since in their prosperity they went astray?" The answer made my Lord Mayor look black in the face. It troubled, it perplexed, it rent him sore. And now he began again to see what it was to be familiar with Diabolonians, such as Mr. Carnal Security was. When he saw that at court, as yet, there was little help to be expected, either for himself or friends in Mansoul, He smote upon his breast and returned weeping, and all the way bewailing the lamentable state of man's soul. Well, when he was come within sight of the town, the elders and chief of the people of Mansoul went out at the gate to meet him, and to salute him, and to know how he sped at court. But he told them his tale in so doleful a manner that they all cried out and mourned and wept. Wherefore they threw ashes and dust upon their heads, and put sackcloth upon their loins, and went crying out through the town of Mansoul, the which, when the rest of the townsfolk saw, they all mourned and wept. This, therefore, was a day of rebuke and trouble, and of anguish to the town of Mansoul, and also of great distress. After some time, when they had somewhat refrained themselves, they came together to consult again what by them was yet to be done. And they asked advice, as they did before, of that reverend Mr. Godly Fear, who told them that there was no way better than to do as they had done, nor would he that they should be discouraged at all with that they had met with at court. Yea, though several of their petitions should be answered with naught but silence or rebuke. For, said he, it is the way of the wise Shaddai to make men wait and to exercise patience, and it should be the way of them in want to be willing to stay his leisure. Then they took courage and sent again, and again, and again, and again. For there was not now one day nor an hour that went over Mansoul's head, wherein a man might not have met upon the road one or other riding post, sounding the horn from Mansoul to the court of the king Shaddai. And all with letters petitionary in behalf of and for the prince's return to Mansoul. The road, I say, was now full of messengers, going and returning and meeting one another, some from the court and some from Mansoul, and this was the work of the miserable town of Mansoul, all that long, that sharp, that cold and tedious winter. Now, if you have not forgot, you may yet remember that I told you before that after Emmanuel had taken Mansoul, yea, and after that he had new modeled the town, there remained in several lurking places of the corporation many of the old Diabolonians that either came with the tyrant when he invaded and took the town, or that had there, by reason of unlawful mixtures, their birth and breeding and bringing up. And their holes, dens, and lurking places were in, under, or about the wall of the town. Some of their names are the Lord Fornication, the Lord Adultery, the Lord Murder, the Lord Anger, the Lord Lasciviousness, the Lord Deceit, the Lord Evil Eye, the Lord Blasphemy, and that horrible villain, the old and dangerous Lord Covetousness. These, as I told you, with many more, had yet their abode in the town of Mansoul, and that after that Emmanuel had driven their prince Diabolus out of the castle. Against these the good prince did grant a commission to the Lord Wilbewill and others, yea, to the whole town of Mansoul, to seek, take, secure, and destroy any or all that they could lay hands on, for that they were Diabolonians by nature, enemies to the prince, and those that sought to ruin the blessed town of Mansoul. But the town of Mansoul did not pursue this warrant, but neglected to look after, to apprehend, to secure, and to destroy these Diabolonians. Wherefore, what do these villains but by degrees take courage to put forth their heads, and to show themselves to the inhabitants of the town? Yea, and as I was told, some of the men of Mansoul grew too familiar with some of them, to the sorrow of the corporation, as you yet will hear more of in time and place. Well, when the Diabolonian lords that were left perceived that Mansoul had, through sinning, offended Emmanuel their prince, and that he had withdrawn himself and was gone, what do they but plot the ruin of the town of Mansoul? So upon a time they met together at the hold of one Mr. Mischief, who was also a Diabolonian, and there consulted how they might deliver up Mansoul into the hands of Diabolus again. Now some advised one way and some another, every man according to his own liking. At last my Lord Lasciviousness propounded whether it might not be best, in the first place, for some of those that were Diabolonians in Mansoul to adventure to offer themselves for servants to some of the natives of the town. For, said he, if they do so, and Mansoul shall accept of them, they may for us and for Diabolus our Lord make the taking of the town of Mansoul more easy than otherwise it will be. But then stood up the Lord Murder and said, this may not be done at this time, for Mansoul is now in a kind of a rage because of our friend, Mr. Carnal Security. She hath been once ensnared already and made to offend against her prince, and now shall she reconcile herself unto her lord again, but by the heads of these men? Besides, we know that they have in commission to take and slay us wherever they shall find us. Let us therefore be wise as foxes. When we are dead, we can do them no hurt, but while we live, we may. Thus, when they had tossed the matter to and fro, they jointly agreed that a letter should forthwith be sent to Diabolus in their name, by which the state of the town of Mansoul should be showed him, and how much it is under the frowns of their prince. We may also, said some, let him know our intentions, and ask of him his advice in the case. So a letter was presently framed, the contents of which were these. To our great lord, the prince Diabolus, dwelling below in the infernal cave. O great father and mighty prince Diabolus, we, the true Diabolonians, yet remaining in the rebellious town of Mansoul, having received our beings from thee and our nourishment at thy hands, cannot with content and quiet endure to behold, as we do this day, how thou art dispraised, disgraced, and reproached among the inhabitants of this town. Nor is thy long absence at all delightful to us, because greatly to our detriment. The reason of this our writing unto our Lord is for that we are not altogether without hope that this town may become thy habitation again, for it is greatly declined from its Prince Emmanuel, and he is uprisen, and is departed from them. Yea, and though they send and send and send and send after him to return to them, yet can they not prevail, nor get good words from him. There has been also of late, and is yet remaining, a very great sickness and fainting among them, and that not only upon the poorer sort of the town, but upon the lords, captains, and chief gentry of the place. We only who are of the Diabolonians by nature remain well, lively, and strong, so that through their great transgression on the one hand, and their dangerous sickness on the other, we judge they lie open to thy hand and power. If therefore it shall stand with thy horrible cunning and with the cunning of the rest of the princes with thee, to come and make an attempt to take Mansoul again, send us word, and we shall to our utmost power be ready to deliver it into thy hand. Or if what we have said shall not by thy fatherhood be thought best and most meet to be done, send us thy mind in a few words, and we are all ready to follow thy counsel to the hazarding of our lives, and what else we have. Given under our hands the day and date above written, after a close consultation at the house of Mr. Mischief, who yet is alive and hath his place in our desirable town of Mansoul. When Mr. Profane, for he was the carrier, was come with his letter to Hellgate Hill, he knocked at the brazen gates for entrance. Then did Cerberus the porter, for he is the keeper of that gate, open to Mr. Profane, to whom he delivered his letter which he had brought from the Diabolonians in Mansoul. So he carried it in and presented it to Diabolus his lord and said, tidings, my lord, from Mansoul, from our trusty friends in Mansoul. Then came together from all places of the den Beelzebub, Lucifer, Apollyon, with the rest of the rabblement there, to hear what news from Mansoul. So the letter was broken up and read, and Cerberus he stood by. When the letter was openly read, and the contents thereof spread into all the corners of the den, command was given that, without let or stop, Dead Man's Bell should be rung for joy. So the bell was rung, and the princes rejoiced that Mansoul was likely to come to ruin. Now the clapper of the bell went, "The town of Mansoul is coming to dwell with us. Make room for the town of Mansoul." This bell therefore they did ring, because they did hope that they should have Mansoul again. Now when they had performed this their horrible ceremony, they got together again to consult what answer to send to their friends in Mansoul. And some advised one thing and some another. But at length, because the business required haste, they left the whole business to the Prince Diabolus, judging him the most proper lord of the place. So he drew up a letter as he thought fit, in answer to what Mr. Profane had brought, and sent it to the Diabolonians that did dwell in Mansoul, by the same hand that had brought theirs to him, and these were the contents thereof. To our offspring, the high and mighty Diabolonians that yet dwell in the town of Mansoul, Diabolus, the great prince of Mansoul, wisheth a prosperous issue and conclusion of those many brave enterprises, conspiracies, and designs that you, of your love and respect to our honor, have in your hearts to attempt to do against Mansoul. Beloved children and disciples, my lord, fornication, adultery, and the rest, we have here in our desolate den received to our highest joy and content your welcome letter by the hand of our trusty Mr. Profane. And to show how acceptable your tidings were, we rang out our bell for gladness, for we rejoiced as much as we could when we perceived that yet we had friends in Mansoul, and such as sought our honor and revenge in the ruin of the town of Mansoul. We also rejoice to hear that they are in a degenerated condition, and that they have offended their prince, and that he is gone. Their sickness also pleases us, as does also your health, might, and strength. Glad also would we be, right horribly beloved, could we get this town into our clutches again. Nor will we be sparing of spending our wit, our cunning, our craft, and hellish inventions to bring to a wished conclusion this, your brave beginning, in order thereto. And take this for your comfort, our birth and our offspring, that shall we again surprise it and take it, we will attempt to put all your foes to the sword, and will make you the great lords and captains of the place. Nor need you fear, if ever we get in again, that we, after that, shall be cast out any more. For we will come with more strength, and so lay far more fast hold than we at the first did. Besides, it is the law of that prince that now they own, that if we get them a second time, they shall be ours forever. Do you, therefore, our trusty Diabolonians, yet more pry into and endeavor to spy out the weakness of the town of Mansoul. We also would that you yourselves do attempt to weaken them more and more. Send us word also by what means you think we had best to attempt the regaining thereof, namely, whether by persuasion to a vain and loose life, or whether by tempting them to doubt and despair, or whether by blowing up the town by the gunpowder of pride and self-conceit. Do you also, O ye brave Diabolonians and true sons of the pit, be always in a readiness to make a most hideous assault within, when we shall be ready to storm it without. Now speed you in your project, and we in our desires, to the utmost power of our gates, which is the wish of your great Diabolus, Mansoul's enemy, and him that trembles when he thinks of judgment to come. All the blessings of the pit be upon you, and so we close up our letter. Given at the pit's mouth, by the joint consent of all the princes of darkness, to be sent to the force and power that we have yet remaining in Mansoul, by the hand of Mr. Profane, by me, Diabolus. This letter, as was said, was sent to Mansoul, to the Diabolonians that yet remained there, and that yet inhabited the wall, from the dark dungeon of Diabolus, by the hand of Mr. Profane.